Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your texts, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Matt, some breaking news to start off this Monday morning. Gar Foreman fired. Can you actually believe that is a true statement we are reading here from the Chicago Bulls in 2020? Gar Foreman has been relieved of his duties. How are you, and what are your thoughts on this breaking news from this Monday morning?
Woo! What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Oh man, I can't believe it.
Gar is absolutely safe. Yes.
The only thing that makes it real to me, that makes it like that I'm aware that it's not just me and that I'm dreaming, is, to borrow Gar Foreman's phrase in our intro, I could just see the vibe on Bulls Twitter today, man.
You can just see the vibe.
Thank you, Gar. Now get the fuck out. Oh, my God. Look, I know a lot of our listeners and a lot of people who interact with me on Twitter think I'm being too much of a downer about this because I'm still harping on the fact that Paxton is still here. We got confirmation on that. We can talk about that later, the fact that he's staying on as a senior advisor of basketball ops. But, I mean, yes, it's annoying that Paxton is still going to be around and that Paxton will still get a paycheck and that Paxton will never take the accountability that he should take by resigning, aka firing himself, or being fired. But we all, I think, collectively agree that this was a smart hire on Michael Reinsdorf's part when it comes to Karnišovas, and Gar is actually gone. In that end, no, I can't believe it, and I am very happy.
I'm about to lose two of my key soundboard materials here. I lost the one this morning in Gar Foreman. So I promise you those sounds will stay around for a long, long time. But it is disappointing that I won't get to add to the repertoire. And I feel similarly about Jim Boylan, although he hasn't been officially relieved of his duties. We haven't really heard, but I think without saying, the writing is on the wall for Jim Boylan as well. But I'm actually surprised that this came so quickly. I mean, considering Karnišovas was just officially announced this morning, and then we've got a statement following that from Sham Sharania like 5-10 minutes later after that, saying Gar Foreman had been fired, and then all the other media outlets had started to report it. And then we get this weird ass statement from Jim Boylan, and I was coming back from the gas station. I was listening to Dan Bernstein talk about it, and he's like, out of any place, why would you have the Bulls release that statement for you? Isn't that something that you would do, like maybe on your own Twitter account, or make that statement public to a reporter? But why would you make a statement from the Bulls? I don't know. It just was very, very bizarre. But yeah, I'm actually very shocked that they didn't just kind of move the chess piece on Gar. And maybe Karnišovas had something to do with that.
It's possible. It's possible that he had something to do with that. And I think what we've heard from day one of the, even before, like they just made it official today. They just made the Karnišovas hire official today. So even though we had already started to say, okay, well, here's the new guy who's been tagged. Here's Reinsdorf's choice. And then we also heard other names about, you know, assistant GM and head of scouting and their cap guy. Like, all of those things happened before they actually even made Arturas' hire official. And what we've heard is that they're going to continue to build out. He is going to continue to build out his front office structure before any decisions are made about the coaching of this team and the future of Jim Boylan. But I don't think any Bulls fan should be worried right now about that. I think right now, A, we don't know what's going on with this NBA season, but it is, you know, despite what we all believe, which is if it comes back, it will come back for some kind of altered playoff format and the Bulls season is done. Even still, the season is technically not over. So the coaching search and the coaching, you know, everything that goes into a coaching search is just put on hold. Because that's more complicated, and I think it has more moving parts than tabbing guys in front offices that you want to conduct interviews with right now. I also think that Arturis would love to get his front office structure in place to get input from everyone in that front office about the coaching search. So, yeah, Jim Boylan is fresh off an extension, and we're not hearing that he has been fired or relieved of his duties yet, whereas we heard that very immediately when Arturis is made an announcement is made official, and then like, you know, 20 minutes later, Gar, thanks, you're fired. John, thanks, here's the paid retirement title. With Jim, I think it's going to come. It's just a matter of time because they have he is a very low paid head coach. You know, when you look across all 30 head coaching salaries in the NBA, and even though he's off of a fresh extension, it will be cheap to pay him to go away. A lot cheaper than what they paid Fred to go away. A lot cheaper than what they paid Tibbs to go away.
Yeah, I would assume, too, that that move is likely to come when the NBA decides to make their season officially canceled or decides to put whatever the end of this season is going to be on the schedule, whenever that may be. And we may not see Jim Boylan relieved of his duties for maybe another month, maybe another 2 months, until the NBA actually can make a decision here. And I don't know why that would prevent the Bulls from relieving him of his duties if they know that they're going to fire him anyway. But maybe there's still some day-to-day things he's doing with the team as far as keeping players and the rest of his coaching staff in touch on a day-to-day basis and still trying to somewhat do some stuff for the organization. So maybe you just need to keep him in place for right now until you can actually make those moves. I'm not really sure, but the one thing that I am sure of is I don't think Jim Boylan will not be returning to this team. As many statements as he wants to put out and as much sucking up to the Bulls organization that he wants to do, I don't think that's going to save his job, nor will it save his relationships with any of the players, if he had any at this point. But Gar Forman had been with the Bulls since 1998, Matt. 1998. It's crazy. 22 years. Well, almost 22 years.
Longer than Jason Tatum has been alive, is how I think Tom Haberstroh phrased it on Twitter.
I was 4 years old when Gar Forman joined the Bulls organization. That is wild to me. So Gar Forman was shared co-executive of the year with... Who did he share it with in 2011? Was that Pat Riley?
I think so, yeah. So because you got to give it at least half that award to the dude who lands LeBron, Wade, and Bob.
Yeah, that is true. So, I mean, what a fall from being named co-executive of the year in the NBA in 2011. The fall from grace all the way to be pretty much unemployable now at this point in 2020. I don't know. Will Gar Forman find another job in the NBA?
I don't know. If the state of Iowa comes up with some kind of team in some kind of expansion draft, maybe somebody will be like, wow, well, I do really believe in Gar Forman's Iowa Rolodex.
In this building.
On that. But, dude, the last thing I want to think about today is Gar Forman's future potential hireability in the NBA.
In this building.
That is true. That is true.
Second time on this podcast, we're not even 10 minutes in. Hey, get the fuck out.
We know as well as anyone that we've not done anything.
So the Karnišovas is official now. That is official. Something else that we have gotten to over the past, I don't know, what has it been, like 3.5 days since we've talked about this. Hopefully you guys enjoyed too the interview we did with Kendall Gill on Friday. That was a very, very fun conversation to have. So if you haven't gone and checked that out from the weekend, you should go check that out on Friday, as well as the like 70 plus minutes you did with Will Perdue last week. So that's broken up into two episodes, so go catch that as well. But we're getting information too now about how the Bulls exactly are going to build this new front office, and it seems like it's not going to be just Karnišovas and one other guy. It's going to be a group of people and somebody that they've already come to an agreement with. I don't know if the Bulls have made this completely official yet, but J.J. Polk from New Orleans will now come be an assistant GM for the Bulls and build part of this front office. I'm not going to pretend like I know a whole shitload about J.J. Polk either, and I don't think a lot of Bulls reporters or anybody on this knows a whole ton about him. The only real connection I can make here to Illinois or to the Bulls in general, and doesn't surprise me, is Polk got his law degree at the University of Illinois. So there's your kind of Illinois Bulls loyalty connection there. But from everything that I kind of read about Polk and what he was able to do with New Orleans, seems like a pretty decent hire.
Yeah, I think he has already a reputation for being one of the most highly respected cap experts in the league. You mentioned his U of I connections. He got his law degree from there after studying and playing hoops at both UC Santa Barbara and then transferring to Rice before grad school at U of I. The guy has a lot of respect around the league, and I think it was from everything that I've read and on his background, and also people in the league who had opinions about him, and hearing everything I've read from local takes in New Orleans, is that AK poached himself a real good one with getting Polk on board. And yes, it's an assistant GM position. It seems like it will be one of several, as you mentioned. This is going to be one of many hires. We also heard about Pat Connolly, who's the brother of Tim Connolly, who was AK's boss in Denver, maybe bring him on board as well. A guy who has a lot of great expertise in scouting and player personnel, which the Bulls have been really failing at recently. But essentially what the Bulls are doing with this is building out a front office structure with, several assistant GMs and several guys keyed to focus on one thing. Whereas for so many of the years that the Bulls were struggling in this, the tail end of the Garpax regime, is that they had an abnormally small front office. And they were like, well, yeah, yes, we have a small front office, but we trust the people in our building. We like our system. And then they were like, oh, crap. Well, maybe we should change this because it's not working. So AK comes in and immediately says, okay, here's what we need to do to get out of the Stone Age and start competing with other NBA teams whose front offices are a lot more in-depth and a lot more spread out than what y'all have here.
I can confirm this right now, 30 seconds ago from Casey Johnson, from the mouth of Arturis Karnišovas. My professional philosophy is knowing players, constant communication. As a leader, I understand individual roles. I'm going to evaluate the current structure and where are the blind spots. He also confirms the hire of J.J. Polk and Pat Connolly and said GM is next. So we can confirm now. I said I wasn't sure if they were or not. Well, we can confirm both of those hires now, J.J. Polk and Pat Connolly. The thing that I was reading most, and I feel like the most common theme with Polk, was his ability to know the cap, know where the cap's going in the future over the next couple of years, and be able to take advantage of all of that. And I think the Pelicans did a really good job, and you saw that in part last summer when David Griffin took over the job and was able to deal Anthony Davis, was able to deal for all these other pieces and gain capital and make that team very interesting really, really quickly. And obviously David Griffin has a lot to do with that, but I would imagine the people that he had working under him too had a lot to do with that as well. And the draft picks too, even I'm looking at the draft picks that the Pelicans made last year. I mean, three really damn good picks, and one being Jackson Hayes, the Bulls were interested, obviously Zion being the biggest grab, and then Alexander Walker too as well with the 16th pick. So they made three really good picks last year. So I'm excited to see what these two guys have and their ideas about where the Bulls should go in the future. But man, this is crazy, man. Like, just thinking about the start of a new decade, and I didn't think that this was ever going to get to the point where we could talk about this, but it is. It feels like a reset of the decade for this Bulls team, and one that I think a lot of us have been waiting and waiting and waiting for. I don't know if it's hit you as a reality completely yet, but I feel like over the last couple of days, it started to become more and more of a reality for me.
Well, you know, I was holding off on my celebration, I think, as I told you earlier on one of our shows last week, because, you know, I'm sorry, you know, blame me if you want to for being skeptical with this organization, but I think I had some damn good reason to be. So, you know, waiting for the other shoe to drop. And even just earlier today, you know, when we get an update from Casey Johnson Monday morning talking about how Gar is expected to stay on and his senior advisor, that John's expected to stay on as a senior advisor and Gar may stay on as a scout. And, you know, I was snarky and pissed off about it, but I was also not surprised because I know this team and I know how they function. So, yeah, there, to me, it hasn't set in yet because I've still been reserving. I haven't been allowing myself to celebrate. Because I'm still like, okay, this is good, but this isn't what we wanted. This is good, but this isn't what we asked for. But I think I have come to a resolution within myself now to say, okay, Gar is gone. Good. John is not gone. He basically put himself on paid retirement with a flowery title, but is not going to be around the team regularly and will only give his input if AK asks for it. I still worry about the outside perception of players and their agents saying, what the hell is John Paxson still doing there? And can we trust this? I still worry about that. But for the time being, yes, I feel good.
Let me ask you this really quick, because you bring up a good point on this. What will it take for your confidence level to be at 100%? Is that John Paxson being gone completely from the team, or is it Karnišovas making a statement? Maybe it takes 3 months to do this or 4 months to do this, where there's a decision within the Bulls organization, whether it be a player, whether it be a draft pick, whoever it be, and Karnišovas pushes back on Paxson a little bit or publicly comes out and says, nah, you know what, Paxson gave me this, I'm going to go this way with this. What confidence level, where are you looking for the confidence level to take you from maybe 70-80% of what the Bulls have done to 100% confidence level that he's got full and complete control?
Well, let's take it from the source, the guy who was tapped to be in control, because as you and I are recording here, Casey Johnson is sending out a flurry of tweets with some updates and some quotes from Arturas, who I'm guessing, jumped on a conference call with on the Bulls beat. So this is AK right now on John Paxson and how that situation might unfold. Quote, I think right from the start during this hiring process, they were hiring number one decision maker. John has a great reputation around the league and can be an asset. I appreciate his candor. He could be a huge help while I'm making this transition. End quote. So that's what AK has to say about it. As far as your question about, you know, when will I feel comfortable and completely comfortable, I will only feel completely comfortable when John Paxson is nowhere in or around that building and collecting paychecks from this team. And I know a lot of Bulls fans say, dude, like, what do you care? It's not your money. It's the Reinsdorf's. Yeah, but it's the principle of the thing. Like, especially that we have to keep hearing. And we heard it again today that John Paxson was the one who initiated a lot of this. He came to the Reinsdorf's in December while the Bulls were floundering and embarrassing themselves on a national stage right before the All-Star weekend festivities come to Chicago and said, this is broken. We should change it. Okay, well, what you're addressing as being broken is the thing that you built, you dumbass. So if that's the scenario, if that's the reality of the situation, you still want to give yourself this glorified firing because Reinsdorf can't bring themselves to do it because they love their Johnny Wani Wani so damn much. Dude, if you address yourself as the problem and what we heard, and, you know, I saw a tweet from your guy, Chuck Swirsky, the amazing Chuck Swirsky, earlier today talking about John Paxson and how he loves this organization so much and he wants nothing more than to make fans happy with a winner. If that's true, and I'm not calling Chuck a liar, I believe Chuck knows John very well. But if that's how John really feels, then go away, dude. It's so simple. You got more than enough money. Just go away.
It's easier said than done when you love something so much, right? I mean, it would be like asking you or I to say, hey, you know what? In order to maybe make this podcast, take this podcast to the next level, you or I have to leave the podcast and we can't have any affiliation with it anymore. And we're not allowed to come back on this podcast either. But in order to make it, take it to the next level, we need one of you to leave. It would be difficult. I feel like it would be difficult to ask you or I to leave and just watch it flourish without yourself. You know, you take it from that point, especially where John Paxson stands in terms of legacy as a player and how the front office feels about him too and how Jerry Reinsdorf feels about him too. So I can understand it from that level as you're so obsessed in you love something so much you don't want to get rid of it or you don't want to completely have to leave it. So that can probably be a difficult decision for Paxson, but he's tried to play two different types of personalities as the director of basketball operations, whatever you want to call him, VP of basketball operations, president of basketball operations, whatever the fuck his title was. He tried to play the hard red ass back in 2018-2019 season when they fired Fred Hoiberg. That clearly didn't work. All it did was piss fans off even more. And now this season, he tried to play ghost basketball of operations, which didn't work either. It just made fans lethargic and made fans stop showing up to the stadium and kind of confused everybody that was watching this. So I feel like John Paxson tried two different personalities that thought maybe would fit or maybe what the Reinsdorfs were looking for, and it clearly didn't work. And I'm not saying this is all Paxson's fault either. And do I think that AK is lying about saying that Paxson can be a great asset to him? I don't doubt that at all. I feel like it's the same with Kenny Williams. Kenny Williams with the White Sox. I feel like there was still some level of competence, some level of needing him around and understanding that he can be valuable. It's just in a certain role. So I don't know. I'm not ready to be completely, to say I'm 100%, this is exactly what I wanted. But damn, if it's not at least close enough to where I can be like, all right, I think I'm all the way bought back in.
I mean, I want to be all the way bought back in more than anything. I mean, how long have we put up with poor managerial decisions, poor basketball operations for the third largest market team in the NBA? As valuable as this team is, as popular as this team is globally, this is the product we've been dealing with. And I so want, like most Bulls fans, to flip that and actually be excited for once. And that was another thing that I liked hearing from AK with his words earlier today. He said, you know, he was excited to earn the excitement and the enthusiasm back from this great fan base. Because clearly he knows that it's gone. Because John and Gar lost it with their incompetence. So, yeah, I want to buy in. And I would be 110% bought in. If now the guard's been fired, John just says, I'll walk away. Because then we'd know for sure. And we wouldn't have any worries.
Top two trending topics right now on Twitter. Under trends for you, for me, Matt. Number one is Jim Boylan. Number two is hashtag fire GarPax. So there's where your priorities here on Twitter in Chicago are. And you can see how quickly this fan base can make things trend in the city. I mean, it takes it all of, 30 minutes for something like this to happen? I have a couple other things I want to talk to you about before we get out of here, Matt. And we've got if there's anything that we can say that all of this news has kind of given us an avenue to, I don't know, keep our stresses away from the global pandemic that's going on. Give us some type of distraction. So this has been really, really good. And hopefully Bulls fans following along have, I guess, a sense of relief at this point with being a Bulls fan. But before I ask you all those questions, I want to let our listeners know about our sponsor and Postmates. I talked to you guys about Postmates a couple of times over the last few weeks, and Postmates is back sponsoring our show today. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beer while you're watching maybe some esports, maybe you're betting on some esports, maybe you're betting on some horse racing this weekend. Sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast, and that's where Postmates comes in. To talk talking about my personal experience with Postmates. I told you guys I ordered from Postmates a wing place a few weeks ago while I was at work. I've also used Postmates multiple times to order things like Portillo's, even a quick bite like McDonald's, or maybe something just from 7-Eleven that you need. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe a case of water. Whatever the case may be, you can get it on Postmates. If you're like me, you probably started thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food. That's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant I can think of right to my door. Just download the Postmates app on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. That's $100 of free delivery credit. Start your free deliveries, download the app, and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's LOCKEDON NBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. This is crucial right now while having to stay home. Maybe you don't want to make that trip to the grocery store again, or you don't feel like waiting in line in a drive-thru. You can have Postmates deliver it right to your door. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA for $100 of free delivery credit for the first 7 days. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Post made it. Locked on NBA promo code. So Matt, there's another statement here from Casey Johnson talking about Arturis Karnišovas discussing the decision to let Gar Forman go. Oh my gosh,
this quote is my favorite thing in the world
today. And it says, regarding Gar, after some consideration and conversation, it was apparent that we have different philosophies that will prevent us from moving forward. Those decisions are never easy. I was hired to affect change. Oh, you mean that philosophy is like...
We've added Jaren Grant, who we talked about, Paul Zipser, who we're high on.
You mean those philosophies aren't the ones that you're looking to make decisions with or bring somebody back with? So, yeah, clearly Karnišovas did not like some of the theories or philosophies Gar had going forward with
different
this basketball
philosophies
season.
AK has a philosophy of helping an organization build a winning basketball program and a winning basketball culture. Gar has a philosophy of hanging out in abandoned gyms in Ames, Iowa, and telling people the opposite of what he's about to do.
They've been in this building
younger and athletic. Oh, dear God. I am so happy he's gone, Jordan. I am so fucking happy.
To retool, not rebuild.
I'm going to miss that. So I guess over the last probably 12 months or 18 months, there's been a sense that the Bulls fans collectively have shit on him so much that there is... It happens to me quite often with a lot of people, is there's this sense of almost feeling bad for him, but then I have to think back to the era of when the Bulls actually had some attention nationally and actually were competitive, and all the shitty things he would come out and say and all the things that just completely made absolutely no sense, which fires me back up and doesn't make me feel as bad. And obviously, talking about somebody getting fired during a pandemic isn't the greatest thing in the world either, but Gar is going to be more than fine. He's made more than enough money in the 22 years that he's been with this Bulls team. He'll be more than plenty fine.
I have sympathy for a lot of people in these challenging times. Obviously, first and foremost, health professionals who are putting their own lives on the line right now. People who work in some kind of service industry who are also exposing themselves and putting their lives on the line to do their jobs. And also a lot of people in our business, Jordan, people who we know, and I know that you've been deeply personally affected by this over at 670 The Score, where you work, because, you know, they lost some great people just a couple weeks ago because of this. Freelance journalists in the world of sports media all around suffering right now, out of work right now. So, yes, lots of people to keep on your mind. And wish the best, knowing that these are difficult times. Gar Forman losing his job during a global pandemic? Again, let me say, get the fuck out.
I guess the last thing I want to talk about today, just reflecting on the 22 years of Gar Forman being with this organization, what's the best move Gar Forman made, and what's the worst move that you can think of Gar Forman made?
Well, if he, oh man, it's a tough call. I'm trying to start with the worst one, and that's why I said it's a tough call, because there's so many to choose from. It might be the OKC trade, man. That trade was so bad. Like, I know the draft night trade to get Doug, and you know, giving up Yusuf Nurkic and Gary Harris, or the rights to them for Doug, it was awful. But then fast forward a few years, and you send Doug and Taj and a pick so that you can bring in point guard of the future campaign, who became nothing more than a punchline. Put those two things together, and that is Gar Forman. That is what Gar Forman will be remembered for.
Goddamn. I was thinking maybe it would be facilitating in the drafting of some of the guys in the earlier years leading up to the Rose drafting. Guys like Taj Gibson, that was a good draft pick. His ability to pull guys out of that late first round, he had a stretch there where he was pulling guys, and it was like, damn, they could actually find guys in like the early 20s, the mid 20s, the late 20s. I mean, think about it. He was part of drafting Jimmy Butler at 30. Obviously, Tom Thibodeau had a lot in building Jimmy Butler up to the player that he is now. Thinking about
and so did Jimmy Butler.
Very true. Very, very true. Kirk Heinrich being one of them that he had been, you know, I guess, part of the scouting department that drafted Kirk Heinrich. Same thing with Ben Gordon. Derrick Rose was luck. I'm not giving Gar Forman or John Paxson any credit for drafting Derrick Rose. That was a no-brainer. But guys like, you know, Joakim Noah, or even players, even in the recent years, like Portis, for whatever that was worth. So yeah, I guess those would be the best moments for Gar Forman. I'm just reading some people. I was looking at best and worst moments of Gar Forman's history, and in his Wikipedia bio, it said Forman was most criticized for passing on the opportunity to draft several notable stars, including Draymond Green, Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, Caris LeVert, Malcolm Brogdon, Tim Hardaway Jr., Chandler Parsons, Mason Plumlee, Seth Curry, and Rudy Gobert. And it's already updated. His Wikipedia page is already updated, Matt, just an hour and a half after it was made known that he was fired. Farman was released of his general manager duties on April 13th, 2020. So, look, he did some good things and won the executive award for a reason, partly in 2011, just because of the year Derrick Rose had and that Bulls team had. But I got to give him maybe like just the tiniest sliver of credit for some of the players he was part of in drafting. And at one point he was probably pretty damn good at his job. Just at this point, it's time to hang it up. And I'm glad Karnišovas finally did what Bulls fans were asking.
Yeah, man. I mean, give Gar some credit for the draft picks he hit on. Great. It's one element of the job of being a general manager. Pretty much bungled everything else. And that's not even bringing up what I think is the thing that always bugged me the most about Gar. And it's not just speculation. It's not just hearsay. It's things that we've heard from reliable sources. The dude's a snake. He was so obsessed with what people were saying about him in the organization that he worked that he hired rats and moles and got people to spy for him and said nasty things about players. I mean, cool. Face value. The guy was a decent executive for a while who also made some solid draft picks. From all accounts of what I've heard, the dude was way too concerned about what people were saying about him. And again, I don't know Gar personally. I've like, you know, said hi to him once at a Bulls function a year ago. No conversation. Doesn't strike me as a guy that the Bulls will miss dearly when it comes to building that, you know, strong culture that they are always obsessed with talking about. Positive culture, strong lines of communication and trust. They always chirp that bullshit. They always preach that, and they haven't had it. getting rid of Gar, it's a good first step.
Yeah, I think maybe the worst moment for Gar is, I don't know, two of them could involve Jimmy Butler. How about the one where they were trying to strong-arm Jimmy Butler, make him play without a contract, lowballing him on a contract? That was pretty shitty. How about two, like you had said, the moles about Randy Brown being a snitch, being and other people around the organization saying what players were saying behind closed doors. That's not a great look either. And then on Jimmy Butler's way out of being traded, you had his personal trainer, who probably had some type of vendetta against the Bulls in some form or fashion. Maybe, you know, there's reports about him being a little jealous that he didn't get the training job when Jimmy Butler was there for the Bulls, said that he had dealt with drug dealers better than the way that the GM was handled in Chicago. So, yeah, that wasn't a great look for him either. So I would say probably those were his maybe most embarrassing moments. If you're not talking about him publicly speaking, those weren't great looks. And even if it's not all 100% true, perception is reality, as much as John Paxson wanted to say a year ago that it isn't, that perception isn't reality. It damn well is in professional sports. And in Chicago with this Bulls team, it 100% is. And, you know, we talked about it last year, man. We talked about it a lot last year at this time. Even prior to that, we were saying, you know, perception is reality and it's going to change. Things are going to change whether they like it or not. It may just take some time. And shit, man, we're here a year later and things have changed. So, whether or not John Paxson maybe believes that perception is reality now, hopefully this gives him a better understanding.
Yeah. And, you know, again, if I haven't said it already, congrats to John on the new title. My God. it is what it is, man. If he is actually staying away and only offering an opinion, only opening his mouth when AK asks him to, then fine. But again, what you just said, you know, that outside perception is something that still concerns me with John. And here's something crazy. I don't know if you noticed this. I think it was like Real Talk Hoops or Real GM. The Real GM Twitter account had this today. And then our buddy Jason Pat over from Cash Considerations quote tweeted it or replied to it. Today's the 10-year anniversary of John Paxson choking out Vinny Del Negro. How crazy is that? On the 10-year anniversary of John getting into a physical altercation with his head coach, he changes his own title from Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations to Senior Advisor for Basketball Operations. What a world we live in. What a world.
God, I would have killed to be on radio that day, having a podcast that day. Just to understand what Bulls Nation would have said during that time. Obviously, I was probably 14 or 15 at the time, so I understood what was going on. But, I mean, to be in the media and be on air that day that happened, that would have been one of those all-time days. That is pretty crazy, too. And I had a buddy who's a golf pro that actually got to go to a function with Vinny Del Negro probably a little less than a year ago out in Arizona. Said he was like the nicest guy in the world, and somebody asked him about the Paxson thing and also asked him about Chris Paul, and I guess he's got some weird thing about Chris Paul where he absolutely hates and despises Chris Paul. But he doesn't even now take too kindly to being asked about him and John Paxson's relationship. So that is very bizarre. Well, though,
speaking of, shout out to Allie Quigley for absolutely mopping the floor with CP3 in that horse competition last night.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I didn't watch a second of it. And when I was looking through Twitter and just seeing the replies and seeing the updates, it sounded like it was a god-awful experiment.
I watched it. It was bad. Like, I thought it would be better than nothing. But, like, the feeds were laggy and choppy. The audio would cut in and out. And it was exactly what it was, you know, it's exactly what you would assume it would be. It was isolated people playing horse. It was, I mean, yeah, it was not very entertaining and it was not well done. Actually, you know, I think there are better ideas for ways to create content right now.
Maybe start with,
that would be a risk.
Maybe start with talking to people on that actually do Twitch live streams and learn how to actually do a live stream.
Yeah, maybe talk to people who have been executing that kind of stuff better for years now. I mean, come on. You're ESPN, for crying out loud.
This guy's fucking millions of dollars, too. You mean they can't afford nice enough recording equipment, camera equipment to set themselves up a little bit to make this at least a halfway decent broadcast? And I heard things like Trey Young's rim wasn't even and like just dumb shit. And I guess I don't
know. Is that hoop regulation size of what? Jeez.
that's just one thing. And same thing with that 2K tournament. The 2K tournament sucked. I mean, you hit like between Zach LaVine and DeAndre Ayton, they had a couple good conversations, like little tidbits here and there. But you basically asked Zach LaVine to basically be the moderator of the game while they were playing. It's like, that's not how it should have went at all. There should have been a host there kind of dictating the conversation between the two players while they played so we could get some actual interesting, maybe some scoops out of these guys that you wouldn't normally hear stories. Instead, we got Zach LaVine and DeAndre Ayton asking each other what they're doing and how they're working out and some little comments here and there. That's all we got. So I don't know. I was a little disappointed by the 2K tournament as well, but I guess beggars can't be choosers at this point. Well, when there is little content to be had right now in terms of games with these professional athletes, but man, they could have done a better job with both of those. So good. I applaud them for trying, but it was a swing and a miss on both of them.
You're trying something, but hey, if the Bulls are even trying new things these days, maybe try new things. The Bulls are the last group of people to try new things. And if everybody's doing it, come on. And I think it was actually Kevin O'Connor who had an interesting idea on Twitter that I saw the other day that was like, you know, just as far as like what would be more entertaining than watching these crappy, you know, lag video horse competitions. Similar to, and it made me, I don't think he pointed this out, but it made me think of what Kobe Bryant had been doing in his retired years. Players, retired players and current players, breaking down old vintage classic games. And they could be from just recent playoff runs. They could be from the 90s. They could be from the 2000s. Breaking down games, individual games, team systems, player evaluations, basically doing Mystery Science 3000 with NBA players talking over, like, you know, rewind games of, because like people are doing, like, broadcasts regionally and nationally are doing these all kinds of like classic game, you know, rewatches. Have current players and retired players talk over that. How fun would that be?
Be a really good idea. See, the thing is not every guy is good at doing that. So you have to pick the right players to do that, not necessarily the guys that are stars. I look at guys like Jared Dudley. Jared Dudley's not a star, but he's really good at talking, and he's really good at talking about basketball and being able to portray those conversations. And you saw it in the early days with like Kevin Garnett. He was awful at it. But he's gotten a little bit better over the years, is trying to stay a little bit more into media, and he's grown a little bit. So I guess if I was going to do that, I would need to find the right players. And I don't know what kind of attention you get if you all of a sudden say you have like Richard Jefferson and Jared Dudley commentating about an old classic game. Both of those guys are great talkers, and they're great about talking about basketball, but are people really going to watch a live stream with those guys compared to maybe, say, Trey Young and Zach LaVine sit down to watch a game? There'd be a lot more attention, a lot more eyes on that, but would it be as good of a product? Probably not. But I'm definitely with you. I think that guys in some realm should jump on a podcast or a live stream and maybe watch some film of old games and just kind of break that down, and maybe that leads to some other stories that we've never heard before.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously these are trying times for everybody, and everyone's trying to come up with new and creative ways to put content out there. They tried something, that horse competition last night, and like we're not even done with it yet. Like, you know, we got a all Chicago semifinal matchup between Zach LaVine and Quigley. And honestly, credit to LaVine, who actually tried to make that fun and interesting, and clearly was like competitive. And you could tell as soon as they nixed the, you know, the dunking, you know, they put down the no dunking rule, he was still trying to find, you know, ways to show how athletically superior to a retired Paul Pierce he was, which I thought was pretty funny. But, you know, you tried something, the response was overwhelmingly negative from a sports fan population that was like honestly give us anything right now. So they gave us something, and everybody was like, nah, don't give us that. So I understand, you know, easier said than done. And you and I are trying right now. Like, we're still, I think, for the most part, doing 5 episodes a week of a Bulls podcast when the NBA is shut down. And obviously right now, over the last week or so, we've had real news to talk about. So thank God for that. You know, I feel for other people in our network, other shows in our network, who are like, all right, well, we were not playoff bound, so we can't talk about what happens if and when this league comes back this season and the league is shut down, so nothing's happening. You know, before that, you know, we were doing player evaluations before this news broke, talking about a little bit of, you know, Bulls Rewind classic kind of stuff. And, you know, everybody's trying. So kudos to try, but, you know, try something new. And honestly, you know, to that end, 331-979-1369. If there's something that you want to hear Jordan and I talk about on the mics while we're, you know, in this weird limbo situation, throw us your suggestions.
100%. Yeah, and we are lucky that we have some actual news to talk about. And Matt, you know what? I would say one of our strengths is we thrive when there isn't a whole lot going on. We tend to thrive in the off season, especially too, where we can kind of spark up some of these conversations. So I'm the least worried out of any of the podcasts out there right now in terms of content and what we can produce. Because we do damn well good shows while we were in the off season last year in the summer. So just speaking of the content part of it, and we'll get out of here after this. It reminded me of this video that I see quite often on Twitter when we're like, well, we're desperate for content. And then we see the horse competition and we're like, eh, you know what? No, we don't want that.
Give me what I want. Give me what I want. You know what I want. You just don't want to give it to me. Give it to me. Give me what I want.
We're going
to
give you what you want.
That's not what I want.
That just reminds me of every NBA fan on Twitter right now is like, give me exactly what I want. They give you what you want and it's garbage. And now we don't want that. So yeah, Matt.
Well, it's also how I feel about this fan base crying out with hashtag FireGuard packs for years. And it's like, all right. We're going to give you what you want, but we're only going to give you half of it.
That's what I felt like when a lot of people called for Hoiberg's firing last year. It's like, give us what we want. Yes, that's what we wanted. Wait, shit, no, we didn't want you to hire Jim Boylan. No, that's not what we want. So that's a perfect clip to sum up Bulls Nation. But maybe this is the start of a new era, and it's not a lethargic, angry fan base anymore, but we can be excited and hopeful about that. But again, 331-979-1369. Drop us a question or a voicemail if you want to discuss everything that's going on right now. You've got a question for us, you just want to leave us your comments. We get to those on Wednesday's episode, and that should be a jam-packed episode. We've got a ton of voicemails and text messages to get into with the reaction of Karnišovas's hiring on top of Gar Foreman's firing. So I'm sure I haven't taken a look, Matt, yet, but I'm sure the text and voicemail line is popping off right now, especially with the news we got this morning. But that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thank you so much for listening again on this Monday afternoon. Hopefully you guys are staying safe, staying healthy. You can hit us up on Twitter at Jordan C. Maui, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Our text and voicemail line, once again, 331-979-1369. Thanks to our sponsor and Postmates. Go ahead and use that promo code LockedOnNBA for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days, available on iOS or Android. Again, Postmates, download the app, LockedOnNBA, the promo code. For Matt Peckham, Jordan Maley, Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
We've talked about, we're really hot on Bobby Portis, McDermott, Nikola Mirotić, Felicio.
We've added Jaren Grant, who we talked about,
Paul Zipser, who we're high on.
We studied the options.
You can just see the vibe. They've been in this building, here in the Advocate Center, in this building.
Kept our flexibility long-term, which was also important to us. Paul Zipser, who we're high on.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Maley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com